Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I'm your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I'm a medicine man, and my chosen modality is the written and spoken word. My medicine bundle is open. I've lit the incense and offered it to the four directions. I invite you to sit with me in sacred ceremony. If you are an agent of the government, you are, of course, welcome to listen, but bear in mind that the words and actions of the medicine man in ceremony are protected under federal and international law. You can join the conversation by tweeting me at Mudtoe Sasquatch, MudToeSasquatch, or by email at MudToeSasquatch@gmail.com. And now, Mudtoe at Midnight.
Hello! Hello! How are you? It's good to be here, as my friend Iggy might say. Thank you for joining me here on the show. And let me just remind you of some of the other wonderful programming we have. On With Insights Radio, you can listen to Iggy and Rosa give their intuitive readings on Mondays at 6 p.m., and then Jenny Seek has her Inner Voice Intuitive Hour, Tuesdays at 7. I think Entrepreneurial Excellence may be going on hiatus for a week or two, but if not, it would be on Wednesdays at 3. And I see here, it looks like there is a new show coming on. And I haven't heard, I've only heard scuttlebutt about this, but it looks like there's a promo on the old switchboard here. So I think I'm just going to throw a caution to the wind and play the promo, and perhaps we'll learn a few things. It's dawn of the new era, and I'm guessing that means it's from our friend Dawn Thompson, a lovely lady who has a very interesting take on life and the world and the universe and everything. That's what I wanted to say, life, the universe, and everything. So let's listen to this promo and see what we can learn about the show.
I am Dawn.
Give Dawn a call at 614-437-9793 and schedule your healing appointment today. Thank you. www.dawnofthenewera.com.
That was more of a commercial than it was a promo, wasn't it? But anyway, that's fine. I've got all that information. I really think she is going to do a show. I just don't know when or what the show is going to be about, or if it's going to be her. What I've heard is that it was going to be her and one other person that we know getting together for a show. So we have that to look forward to, don't we? And let's by all means do so. But me, I'm Mudtoe Sasquatch, and my show is Mudtoe at Midnight. And it's on here at midnight, Friday nights or Saturday morning, depending on how you choose to look at it. And I am here mainly to talk about myself. I'm not sorry about that. It's just that's the way the format of the show has worked out. So I just talk about things that are happening to me, things that are on my mind, and it is my hope that my words reach someone who needs to hear them or who wants to hear them or can do something with them. So that's what I'm all about. And let me just speak here. I wanted to share something that came up on my Facebook because so many interesting things come up on my Facebook, and I really ought to share more of them. So here is something a friend of mine shared. It's a lady friend, a female friend of mine shared. It says, just remember, any bitch before me was a mistake, and any bitch after me is a downgrade. Helpful words for living from Facebook. And I would thank the person who posted it, but I don't have their permission, so we'll just leave it at that. You know who you are. So that's out of the way. Why don't we talk about my blog? My blog, which is at mudtoesasquatch.com, and back to the normal two-entry format. That's an entry on Tuesday and an entry on Friday. I doggone near forgot to make my one today because I'd gotten sort of used to it. I don't know how I could have gotten used to it because it was only for 2 weeks. But over the holidays, I was doing just one blog entry on Thursdays. Back to Tuesdays and Fridays, now I have to think about writing twice a week again. I should be thinking about writing every day, but I haven't been for a while. Anyway, let's talk about the blog. The first entry, Tuesday's entry, was about, you know, I may actually, sometimes I actually have to look at it and remind myself of what I wrote about. I mean, while I'm doing that, I'll talk about what I did Friday. That was more recently. I can remember that. I had posted, I posted on Facebook that I was feeling angry for some reason that I didn't quite understand. I was angry in particular at Donald Trump. I often find myself being angry at Donald Trump when I see him mentioned in the news. And it occurred to me that I don't really have, you know, other than he's you know, kind of dopey, I don't really have a reason to be particularly angry with him in particular. He's never done anything to me personally. So I was wondering where this might come from, and I posted all that on my Facebook, and one of my friends answered me back. He's very into nonviolent communication. He's a nonviolent communication coach, and he was kind enough to send me a list. Well, you see, I should do a needs inventory. He said that anger comes from unmet needs. So I needed to look at what my unmet needs might be. And he sent me a list. And so I included this list in my blog entry, and I picked five of them that I thought applied to me. And here are the four. Well, I shouldn't tell. I'll tell you three of them. I'll tell you two of them, because I want you to go on the website and look at the blog. So two of the five. One of them was the money goes to matter. And that, you know, then maybe that seems a bit self-centered. I think anytime you're talking about your needs, you're going to sound a little bit self-centered. But I think about writing these books and publishing them, and usually my fantasy is not so much to get famous in the traditional sense, but that people will know me from my work. That maybe not everyone in the world, maybe not millions of people, but some circle of people will know me from my work and appreciate the work. So that would be one thing to matter. And the second thing I picked was harmony, because there are so many different facets of my life. My life is very fractured in many ways. I have different groups of friends who never encounter each other, different sort of concerns, different activities I do that never overlap. And it seems like there's a lot of energy that goes into keeping all of those things going. It's definitely an artifact of the time that I was active in my addiction. And I would like, I guess my need would be for those things to come together in some way that's more productive. So those would be two, and there are three more. And then there's a whole list of possible unmet needs that you could look over and see what your unmet needs might be. I don't know. I mean, I meant this as an exercise for me to explore where this sort of strangely directed anger might come from. And, you know, it was interesting as an exercise, and, you know, I haven't been particularly angry with Donald Trump for a while, so I guess you could say, at least for the past, at least since Tuesday, you know, it's worked out okay. So, speaking of Tuesday, I now have Tuesday's blog entry in front of me. It's called Ode to a Hat. It's kind of cute. I have this hat that I like very much. One of my former Twitter followers made it for me, and I became conscious recently that I think the hat was trying to escape from me. It kept, you know, falling out of my pocket at odd times, or I'd leave it behind at a restaurant. Just the string of, you know, two or three times a day, my hat was getting separated from me. And I was wondering if it was because I was trying to hold on to it too much, you know, that to keep it to myself. Maybe it needed to go off and spread its joy and goodwill to other people. And I won't tell you how it ends. Again, I don't want to spoil it for you. But if you want to read my blog entries, those and some of the older ones, there are it's probably more than 100 now. There'd have to be, wouldn't there? It goes back to November, so it goes back more than a year. If you're talking an average of maybe, so I'm doing 8 a month now. Yeah, it'd have to be way over 100. Doggone it, I should have been counting, because I could have done a special 100th blog. I suppose I could throw it up there and just call it the 100th blog. Is somebody really going to go back and count and say, that wasn't really your 100th blog? Just rearrange them, maybe. I don't know. So I do have my 100th radio show when that happens, too, but I'm so lost track. I haven't been updated. I haven't updated my radio show archive on my website, which is mudtoesasquatch.com, same as the blog. The website is a WordPress blog. And then I have some little bit of material about me, just a few things that I, you know, links to things I like, music and popular media and so forth. And then there's a radio show archive, which is supposed to be able to connect you with every radio show I've ever done. But as I say, since August, I've been very lax on it. Well, I've been completely lax because nothing has been added. So let's set that intention again. I want to get the radio show archive updated so that all of the shows are there for you and that you can, Blog Talk Radio has its own radio archive. You can go to that. In fact, that's the links go to their radio archive. But they don't put anything up about like what's on the show or anything else. It's just a date is all you get. So I try to add like a few topics that I talked about on my archive. So take a look, tell me. That's why I have that whole sort of complex of stuff there. I want to I'd like to get feedback from people. What do they think about my writing and what I'm writing about? What do they think about the radio shows and what I'm talking about? The one thing you can comment on the blog entries. The one thing I would ask is that on your comment, I get to look at the comments before they get posted. So please give me some sort of indication that you're not a computer program trying to sell stuff. It's usually pretty obvious that's what you're saying, but if you can indicate to me, by saying like something actually about the article that you're going to talk about, what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it, and then I will pass you right through, because it doesn't matter to me whether you said, well, obviously it does matter to me, but I'm not going to not post it because you didn't like it. Just if you didn't like it, I welcome constructive criticism. Please, no racist comments or sexist comments or any other kind of ist comments. I will bump you for that. But anything honest and constructive and not hurtful to anybody but me, I'd like you to not be hurtful to me too. But yes, I'm pretty flexible. Just what I'll probably pass it on. And I do like to see your comments in any case. It helps me with shaping the longer pieces of writing that are going to go into my book someday, he said. Convincingly. So, now, that commercial's out of the way. What else do we need to talk about? Let's see. I went to... Oh, let me before I say that. I have a new hot water heater. How about that? And my old one started leaking. I have no idea how long it was leaking. When I came back from my Christmas hiatus with my parents, I noticed when I took my first shower after I was home that I didn't seem to have a whole lot of hot water. And about the third or fourth day, this is something I must have to go down. Something must have happened with it. Because usually when you come back from a long trip, your hot water isn't as hot. And I'm not exactly sure what that process is. It's just something I've noticed. Well, it wasn't coming back, so I went down to the basement basically to turn the thing up. That was a new thing I learned very recently was, there's actually a thermostat on hot water heaters, and you can turn them up and down if you want to. But I went down there, and there was water coming out the bottom. The bottom hadn't completely cut loose, but there was a pretty good stream of water coming out there and swirling down the drain. So I called my buddy Iggy, who is also the master of With Insights Radio, and who is also my landlord. And he and his father brought me a brand spanking new hot water heater, which is actually larger than the one I had before, which is kind of nice. And they spent the afternoon here, and I spent the afternoon with them trying to stay out of the way, being a sort of quasi-assistant as they put that thing. It's actually observing the process of removing that old water heater and putting the new one in. Because everything is more or less standardized as far as connections and so forth. But, nothing ever ends up in exactly the same place. And you're talking about pipes coming in, and they're pretty fixed pieces of equipment. So you're bending and cutting and welding pipes. I'd never imagined that sort of activity would be involved. And then they were working on gas pipes, too, which kind of alarmed me a little bit. I would have thought that... you would have had a license or something to work on gas pipes. Geez, maybe you do, and I just ratted them out. So I forget if you actually have to have a license to work on gas pipes. Please disregard everything I just said about people using blowtorches on gas pipes. I saw no such thing, no such activity occurred in my apartment. So anyway, sip of my Fresca there. Running out of Fresca. I don't have it so much in store anymore. I usually get it from my mother. She buys it for me and keeps it and sends a couple bottles for me whenever I visit. But I'm running out, so I'm going to call her mom. Need Fresca. Must have Fresca. I have a bunch of milk in my refrigerator, too, which isn't particularly unusual, except that it's all in Tupperware. I did some grocery shopping a couple days ago, got home, and the plastic milk jug was all leaking. It was just a little bit. It was leaking along the seam at the bottom, and it was dripping out of there. So I had to marshal all the Tupperwares I had because I don't have any large containers of any kind, and fill them up, and that's where my milk is right now. So make sure I was about to say I'll have to remember what the expiration date is, but I don't remember what the expiration date is, so I'm just going to have to use it expeditiously. Because that's what you should do with milk, or anything that you buy that's perishable, you should use it. And in that vein, I purchased some spinach and quite a lot of fresh fruit, and this was yesterday, and I did not eat any today. I must eat these things when I buy them. It's very bad to buy perishable things and then not eat them. First of all, you spent money, and second, you've wasted the effort that went into growing them and the materials and all the greenhouse gases that were created by whatever all that stuff is about. But it's bad. Waste is bad. So please hold me accountable. I need to eat up the spinach and the plums and the nectarines and the bananas that I ate. Actually, I ate a banana, so I didn't completely eschew the fresh fruit. But bananas are easy. It's the rest of the stuff that I have to remind myself to eat it, particularly the spinach, because I need more greens. And lettuce doesn't really appeal to me all that much. But I can eat spinach, but I have to remember to eat it. So send me messages on my blog. Send me messages on my Gmail address. I didn't mention that yet. mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com. That's where you find me on email. So send me an email and tell me, eat your spinach, Mudtoe, because it's good for you. Because some work went into that. People grew that spinach for me. She said, people grow that spinach for you, Mato. You need to eat it. So do that. Send me those. Give me a talking to. Give me a stern talking to. So I realize you're serious. You know, if you're just nice to me, I won't think you're serious. Okay, so groceries. What else? Today I had a fun day. First of all, I did get a callback on a resume that I sent in to a firm here in town that does transportation for special needs students. And mine would be an office position. It would be a trainer's position. It would be, in many respects, not unlike what I used to do at the university. So I had a phone interview, and that went pretty well. And I sent along some references, and they called me back today and arranged a face-to-face interview next week. And I'm just a little bit, you know, I'm a little bit nervous about it. Well, I'm a lot nervous about it. Just because the last time I worked, this would be a 40-hour-a-week job. And the last time I've done a 40-hour-a-week job was in 2006. That's when I was teaching. And one could argue that teaching is not a 40-hour-a-week job, although in total I put more than 40 hours a week in. But you aren't, you know, there 40 hours a week. You have other. You're at home doing the grading and other things, doing stuff over the weekend, doing your professional development and whatnot. This would be more like the kind of jobs I did. Well, in the respect that, you know, I'm going in an office and there, you know, 8 hours a day and off 1 hour for lunch, and it would mean doing a little bit of driving because it is in the city, but it's a ways away from where I live. Unless I decided to move closer to work, which that's not a decision I would make very quickly, not right away. But it's a decision I may have to make. I don't know. I'll have to look because the starting time for the job is like 7 in the morning. I am definitely not a morning person, but got to make a living, you know. Got to earn, got to keep hustling. And that theater job is starting to come online, too, that they're in rehearsals, and they'll probably be working a couple nights a month. On this first show, and I know the director wants to develop that, start adding nights, but he's put another stage manager on it, so there are two of us sharing the job. So if there's two of us sharing the job on an equal basis, and I don't know that for a fact that it's going to be an equal basis yet, I'm going to find out. Also on Tuesday, the same day as my morning interview for the 40-hour-a-week job, that evening, I'm going in to find out more about what this part-time theater job is going to entail. But if I'm splitting the job with someone else, obviously it's never going to be a full-time job. It's never going to be something I can make a living off of. So I would need to have this, have something anyway to make up the difference. And if there's a full-time gig available to be somewhere else, I don't see how I can not take it. So that's the way I'm approaching it. I think it would be not crazy about the early hours, but I did a job with early hours once, and I survived. There'll be time for the theater stuff. There'll be time for writing, and I'll be able to pay my bills. I think it's a win-win for everybody. So fingers crossed, toes crossed, the spirit's willing. Then there will be good news next week. So you can tune back in for that. The other thing for today was I went and saw Lawrence of Arabia. And if you're not familiar with that movie, it was made back in the early 60s, directed by David Lean. It's very, very long. And it's had a history of, it's one of those movies that's sort of the poster child for film restoration. If you've heard about that, where people, there's this whole organization that goes in and takes old movies that have gotten all deteriorated and goes in with a computer and fixes them all up and then sends them back into theaters. And, of course, the whole digital projection thing has gotten mixed up in that as well. And Lawrence of Arabia is kind of an interesting case because it was a very well thought of movie at the time, and yet the film just wasn't taken care of. So it fell into where you just didn't have, they wanted to do, actually this is the story of Spartacus, I think. Spartacus, the movie Spartacus had the same thing happen to it. And they wanted to do, you have a screening for the 20th anniversary of the movie, and they couldn't find a print that was suitable. They were all the prints that were left were really bad. So that made it a candidate, and then Lawrence of Arabia became a candidate sort of the same way. But it's been restored a number of times. This is the latest restoration that puts it in this new format that's four times more detailed than high-definition TV. So it's like the latest, greatest thing. And, you know, it looks, I went to see it, and it looks really good. I got to say, it looks really good. I don't know that I thought about that at all after the first 10 minutes or so. I don't know if I thought at all about how good it looked. But maybe that's the point. You know, you're really not supposed, the idea is restoration. They're putting it back the way that it was. So I guess you shouldn't be sitting there the whole time saying, boy, this just looks a lot better now. Should be paying more attention to the story, which I did. It's a neat movie. As I said, very long. It's about 4 hours long, so it's a lengthy evening, but I got through it. I was going to say, there was something else I was going to say about Lawrence of Arabia. I really need to make more detailed notes. I remember. The one thing that kind of, there was a dissonance between the picture was beautiful, but the sound was still the old 1960s, not stereo, early 1960s, not stereo sound. And I thought, boy, wouldn't it be, they ought to go back, if they're going to spend all that money to make such a pretty picture, they ought to go back and remix the sound into Dolby. So you know, the sound is really hitting you too. Now, there's probably a lot of difficulties involved in that, or maybe they just didn't want to, or maybe I don't know what the deal. I just think if you were going to, maybe they're just into picture restoration and they're not into sound restoration. I mean, there would be a lot of different problems involved with the sound restoration. You almost have to have the original sound elements, you know, the dialogue recorded and the original music recorded, to be able to remix it into stereo and make it work. I don't know if, you know, separating them digitally would really do the trick there. But it was, I missed, the picture was absolute modern quality. You wouldn't see better picture in any movie you went to see in the theater today. And the sound was good, but it wasn't stereo. You know, sound was fine. It wasn't bad. You could understand what everybody was saying. The music had a very, you know, emotional impact, but. There were times when I thought, boy, those two instruments, you know, those two musical instruments should be separated. You know, they should have maybe one on the left a little bit, one on the right a little bit. I did miss having a good stereo soundtrack. So the people who work on Lawrence of Arabia, which I guess is kind of a full-time job for people over the past 10, 15 years or so, is just to keep restoring it and restoring it and restoring it. And those of you who work permanently on Lawrence of Arabia, how about working on that soundtrack a little bit for me? I'd go back and pay $8 and see it again if you had a Dolby 5.1 or whatever it is now soundtrack. Like they're going to listen to me. But anyway, and all the, so I walked home from that, and I was concerned that I was going to make it back in time to do the radio show, because like I said, it's a four-hour movie. It started at 7, and I thought, you know, what usually happens with these kind of things, you go, I saw it at the art museum down on campus, and usually they have, like, a bunch of people get up on a microphone and talk and say, welcome to our show, this is the Restoration, it's a wonderful thing, here's the head of the Restoration Society. And then he gets up and says, this is a wonderful, beautiful, wonderful thing. And here's the head of the Lawrence of Arabia Association. And so he'll get up and say, oh, what a beautiful, beautiful thing this is. Here's somebody who saw Peter O'Toole in an airport once. And they'll get up there and say their piece. And, oh, this is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Here's the person who runs the concession stand. You know, just everybody has to get up and get their and say their 2 cents, and then, you know, the movie starts about a half an hour later. But I got to tell you, they just, nobody got up and said anything. They just, at 7 o'clock, they started the overture, which confused some people, because a lot of people don't remember that movies used to have overtures. You know, there's no picture on the screen and just playing music for 3 or 4 minutes. Just took them a minute to figure out what was going on, but they cranked it up at 7, and the movie was done at a little bit after 11, because they took an intermission. In the middle. That's another thing that confuses younger people is intermissions. And we got, I was back out on the street about 10 after 11. That got me home about 11:30. Plenty of time. So it was all cool, but I got to walk past my young friends who were all out on a Friday night. This is the first week the students have been back at the university. And it's a nice night tonight. It's actually, I was kind of expecting my friends across, my friends next door to be having a big party. That's what they seem to like to do on Fridays and Saturday nights. And there's no party. I'm feeling kind of lonesome right now. But perhaps it was raining earlier today. It was raining for most of the day. Maybe they just thought it was just going to keep raining and there wasn't any point to it. Or maybe they just don't do parties in January. I can certainly understand that. But my university friends were out in force. And the female ones in short skirts and their low-cut blouses, which doesn't bother me the way it used to. I just find that I'm able to disregard, in the way I was always able to disregard, 14 and 15-year-olds, except when I was 14 and 15. You know, as an adult, I just think about it, I've developed an ability to disregard teenagers. And now, as an older adult, a middle-aged man, I've developed an ability to disregard women from about 25 years old down. You know, they just, I get a little twinge and maybe get a little hit of desire there, but it doesn't bother me. I don't feel like I have to run away from it. So I can run away, or I can just go home or on the way home and notice what's going on around me. And one thing I did notice, I just got my 90-second warning, so let me just tell you. There was a dude outside of one of the bars talking to a girl, and I'm going to do my impression of this dude. What do you say? Because he's very, very, very drunk, and he was saying, I have all of my teeth. That was his selling point, that he had all of his teeth. I had to remember that. So I was like, I'm going to remember that so I can share it with the good people at good people on listening to Mud Toe at Midnight here on withinsights.com. Thank you so much for listening. The show has just finished this week. Please join me next week for another half hour of brilliant commentary from me, and have a great weekend.